Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 174.
This is the thing about John F. O'Donnell that I want to point out, though. He would play
so
basketball.
We lived
right next to an elementary school, and he would play in their elementary basketball field.
Because it what took them 45 court? Minutes to realize it wasn't one of the children at the school.
Not the tallest knife in the drawer.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I think you and I should go undercover like a 21 Jump Street thing.
Yes!
We could uncover all the shit going in.
Dude, I was hanging out in Brooklyn with some people, and they're like, how old are you? And I told them, they were like, oh, my God.
What's wrong?
We thought you were 10 years younger than that. I was like, still got
it.
Yeah. It'll work in your favor at one point.
One.
Hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news. We talk about politics. Oh, my God. They can't stop laughing. And where we hold on to democracy as it whips from side to side like a mechanical bull hell-bent on throwing us into a drunk bystander at a cowboy-themed bar.
Wow.
That was evocative, though, right?
Yes.
You want to really bring democracy into your eye mind.
Your eye mind?
Spoken
like a true Buddhist.
The deal is, though, that I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and I'm really working on my inner thigh strength so that the fucking mechanical bull does not hurl me off and hurl the Republic off into the distance. There it is.
There you go.
Nice.
Got a kegel for justice. Democracy.
Today, we are going to talk about impeachery, about DACA, about new entrants to the 2020 race to ensure that it's always fucking crowded, and the resignation of Katie Hill. We're going to talk about all of that. And I have a super ridiculous panel with me here today. Ridiculous in that they're both ridiculous human beings.
Yep. A little bit reckless of her to have us both on at the same time.
Poor planning or the best planning?
First time to the show, but I've known him for so many gadget. This is your first time on the show. You looked at me like it wasn't your first time.
No, as you were saying, I know you. I was making an earnest face of connection
friendship. Yeah.
That you interpreted as me being like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, we have known each other for a very long time. We have, in fact, lived in the same quarter.
Yeah. Roommates.
Which makes it sound like we were sailors on a boat. We were sailors on a boat is the thing. And that's how I know
basically,
him.
Basically, you're surrounded by water.
Yeah. In the boat of Manhattan, yeah. That
the
is
boat
life.
Of, the boat of SS New York.
Holy shit, Manhattan's just a big boat, you guys.
Dude, we're just on a blue, you know,
oh,
spaceship.
Man, I knew it was a simulation.
Just hurtling through the cosmos.
And this is where the Matrix goes. Into this
it's
is the
glitching
direction.
The fuck out right now.
The Matrix 4, Manhattan Boat Edition.
All right. You've seen him as a correspondent on Redacted Tonight. He was super hilarious. He's no longer there, but amicably no longer.
Yes, amicably.
I don't know why I'm...
He's like, amicably redacted.
He's redacted. Yes.
I've been redacted tonight.
And he has a special that you should all be immediately watching called Manic Depressive Chocolate Fountain Operator.
Yeah.
And he's just one of my favorite comedians to watch. I mean, aww. Really, he's so fucking funny and ridiculous. And he's a great friend. And you guys, it's John F. O'Donnell.
Hey, I am so psyched to be here.
Returning to the show, you already recognize his voice by now. He's a writer, he's a producer, he's a comedian. He's going to be in Florida next week. So look at his website to see when you can catch him in Florida. What city in Florida?
I think one of them is south of Tampa.
Okay, great. great. He has no idea.
The real classy part of Florida.
And he's also a veteran of the United States Armed Forces. And this is Veterans Day week.
Yay,
that's not a thing. But anyway, it is Veterans Day week here in our hearts at Fake the Nation. And it is one of our favorite alumni, you guys, Benari Lee Poulton.
Thank you.
Hello.
Such a pleasure to be back. Fuckos.
By the way, can you tell him real quick what sure. Donnie did to the Veterans Day parade?
So, because, you know, he's the president. He decided he was going to do the opening ceremony, which is normally open to the public. But he popped in and it was closed. All the security had to come in. And because of all the security procedures that go with the president being in town, and they're already closing off the streets. So it's already like kind of a shit show in the morning anyway. They couldn't even start the prep for the parade itself till he left. Because they couldn't let people down
so
into the area.
So he delayed it by hours.
So it was like delayed by hours. So the Veterans Day Parade itself. So, and he was gone before the actual parade started.
The parade that's for the veterans.
Yeah.
He's like, let me just pop in for a minute.
Closed door ceremony.
So then it went into the
delayed the entire thing by several hours.
Mess this up for a while. Make it about me until everybody's annoyed. Yeah. Then get out of there before it starts. Tweet about it. It was a good day.
Well, of course, the opinions expressed are my own and no way represent those of the United States here.
But you do speak for Ambassador George Taylor. No, what's his name? William Taylor.
Bill Taylor look, those guys.
We're going to get into it, but first we need to hear a bell because we're going to start topic number one. There it is. Now we're free to note that the impeachment hearings began on Wednesday, and everyone who was home probably watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy back episodes. I'm talking about the one from the early aughties or other programming. Maybe they want turn to see what's happening on C-SPAN 2 instead of actually watching the impeachment. So let's clue them in to what happened. Was there anything that stood out to you? Benari, you were going to note something.
Yeah. George Kent's goddamn bow tie was phenomenal. Way to show up for the cameras, man. You fucking did it.
I fucking literally wrote in my notes, George Kent bow tie. That was so meaningful to me. How did he wear a bow tie? That guy is not he's not like the fucking State Department jester. He is an actual, he's the assistant deputy to Mike Pompeo that specializes in Eastern Europe and the Caucasus.
And he's worked under like 40 years. Or five different presidents. Yeah.
So it's like third generation
diplomat.
Yeah.
He with a bow tie. I mean, that's
bow ties can go either way. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But he pulled it off.
Tucker Carlson in a bow tie back in the day.
Exactly.
Screw that guy.
But this guy, it gave him.
Senator Paul Simon with his bow tie.
A kindly disposition.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's kind of a wild card. I'm a Mr. Rogerian sort of vibe.
Very Rogerian.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I liked that it was a bit of a wild card. He's like, I don't know what to expect from this guy. But then. It was.
What did we hear from this guy?
I like to think when he undresses, he keeps the bow tie on until the end.
Never takes it off.
He's a never nude, but never it's nude, just a bow tie. Well, let me just mention, by the way, that he said that his testimony said something like that the Trump administration was always trying to, quote, gin up politically motivated investigations that were, quote, infecting U.S. policy towards the Ukraine. He's the one who testified that George Sondland said that that the President Trump, quote, cares more about the investigations of Biden with Giuliani, which Giuliani was pressing for.
Right. And he also basically laid out how problematic it was for Rudy Giuliani to be running whatever he was running there while they were trying to do their diplomatic duty, and that how much chaos that was causing. But I thought the most powerful thing that he said was he took a moment at the end of his opening statement to bring to light the fact that three of the lifelong civil servants that have been smeared by Republicans, many of whom were sitting in on that committee, and the president, were not only lifelong civil servants, but three of them had fled Nazi Europe and communist Europe to come to America to serve this country, to fight against the forces of fascism, to fight against corruption, and giving back to this country that they were really that they were some of the most patriotic and the most American.
Yeah, in fact, George Kent, I think it was George Kent, or maybe it was Ambassador Taylor, who said something like, there has been a George Kent serving in the United States for 60 years.
Yeah.
Like, because he's like
Kent said that. He's like third generation.
Yeah, third generation.
And like, to Bernardi's point, I can't believe that those, you know, heroic people who fled the Nazis and authoritarianism and came here to, you know, really be these lifelong civil servants. I can't believe they're being so anti-American now.
I mean, it's a turn we just didn't expect.
I mean, it's going to tear the country apart if we hold a president accountable for obvious bribery and extortion.
For things that he has himself stated
a thousand times. And that Mick Mulvaney doubled down on and was like, we all do this all the time.
Get over it.
I love him. He's the most transparent of the villains.
Yeah. He's like, read the transcript. Yeah. Well, I mean, the transcript says you did it. Like, do me a favor. I need you to look into the Biden.
Yeah.
This Biden thing.
I know. It's so weird. But, and I want to point out, too, that Devin Nunes' opening statement.
Oh, Nunes.
Was.
What an angel. You know what pissed me off the most about him? That his last name is not pronounced Nunes like it should be.
Well, he doesn't want people to think that he's one of them.
Is he not Latino?
It doesn't matter. He doesn't want people to think of him as Latino. That's
okay,
the real point.
People of Faith the Nation. Can someone just do a quick 22andMe or 20? Do a 22andMe, not a 23andMe.
Wow,
please do a 22andMe.
Yeah, you want to do 22andMe?
Yeah, you do 22andMe. No, it's
come
fine.
On. Come down the alley, illegal. Spit into my mouth. I'll swish it around for a while.
Yeah. We're definitely not selling all your DNA to foreign countries.
I won't swallow it. I'll spit it back onto my hands. I have some wax paper here.
Yep. Can you guys?
And I'll let you know that you're
not running a legal cloning experiment.
But this
don't
is
worry.
What,
and I'll let
Nunes.
You know you're 124th Cherokee. Thank you.
This is what Nunes said. He said something like, to start things off, to start with a discrediting note before these gentlemen had opened their mouths, which is, at the end of the day, so disrespectful, right?
It is.
Like, it's so disrespectful. He said that the Russia hoax is over and you've been cast in the low-rent Ukrainian sequel.
Yeah, like his Speed 2 or something.
It's like, it's so interesting because I think it's one thing to say, look, legally, you know, this is hearsay. Does it really stand in a court of law, which we sort of are, whatever? Like, you can say stuff like that. That's permissible, and it's actual argumentation. But to just immediately say that you guys are all in cahoots with the Democrats.
Right. Which, in this brilliant, brilliant scheme to lose the election.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
this long-lasting 23-plus year masterminded conspiracy
even think,
to
like,
blow it.
I don't even think Nunes, I just don't understand his game, and I don't think he believes himself.
They don't have a
they
game.
They don't. They're doing all sorts of mental gymnastics. You're right. In that opening statement, he just condemned the entire Democratic Party. That's all he did.
But not the entire Democratic Party, and all career bureaucrats who came to testify even though most of them have worked for Republicans.
And they're nonpartisan.
These are just professional people doing
it's
their job on behalf of their country.
They're the people you don't usually get to see that I think as a country we should see more, because I was like, oh, those are some like real people that are doing stuff
They're
for the government.
Ones that are making the Excel spreadsheets that make the country run.
But they're also the men and women who are removed from the circus of politics.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
For a reason. Because administrations change, the Congress changes. Sometimes the diplomatic priorities are going to change, and they're there to provide continuity and stability, and be the adults in the room.
So you're like a Trump deep state guy.
Yeah, apparently I'm the deep state, because I think that there are things that will – that I think that these systems are supposed to outlast us.
Well, okay. So there's Nunes who did that. There's Adam Schiff, I thought, did just, you know, whatever.
He was just trying to
hold it down.
Yeah, he was just like, look, I'm just going to –
just like, okay, yep, it's submitted.
There's I think Jeffries was interesting because he was very theatrical for the GOP, like in his questioning and sort of like trying to make these guys out to seem crazy.
Well, and then Jim Jordan, who's, you know, most known for – covering up a massive child abuse scandal at the school that he worked.
That dude was unhinged.
I mean, that guy, there's no, I mean, if you want a guy to ignore scandal, Jim Jordan is your guy.
Wait a second. That's who I mean. Is Jeffries on the committee? Who's the one that was like,
Jim Jordan.
He's the theatrical one. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I am truly losing my mind for names today. 22 and me.
We'll fix it in post.
And all of the, you know, Harry, make sure nobody knows I don't know the difference between Jim Jordan and Jim Jeffries.
And I just thought that Jordan was theatrical. When Jordan.
And it's just like a Harry's voice. So he was super theatrical. And wait, can you repeat that thing? He's known for what?
He turned a blind eye. There was this massive coaching scandal where this coach was abusing these boys in the shower.
Because he's a former wrestling coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a former wrestling coach. And by the way, if you're a former wrestling coach, and you're now a GOP congressman, you've definitely either fondled boys or you've covered for someone who's fondled boys. Because all the, like, Mark Foley went to jail.
I mean,
for this, like, all these guys who are wrestling coaches. What the fuck, GOP wrestling coaches?
Yeah.
Stop protecting pedophiles and stop fondling children and then lying about
it. It's very Catholic Church
of
them.
It's so fucked up.
And
this is their lead guy.
Hashtag not all GOP, hashtag not all Catholic Church.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to do a broad sweep here,
cover
guys.
Those bases in a game.
I'm just saying there have been multiple wrestling coaches who have also been GOPers who have been involved in scandals that involve molesting
children. First of all,
why is politics
so attractive to wrestling coaches?
Who molest children.
Yeah, how do you get from wrestling coach to GOP congressman?
All right, but here's my question. How is this landing with the American public, just all this? Because my little feeling was, in my little heart, that because we had a few weeks of skiff testimony, of which artfully lines had been leaked and made it into the press, and they were headlines, and they were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. At the end of those few weeks, it felt like, okay, so the impeachment process is done, right? We could just vote on this?
Yeah.
And it's not done, right? It is literally now just beginning in a public fashion. And so now we're sort of going to hear all these things again. And there was a little bit of a bomb drop yesterday. Who wants to explain that bomb
drop?
The bomb drop.
Okay, so when Ambassador Taylor was testifying, he said that someone in his staff informed him that a day after the infamous phone call that Trump had with the Ukrainian president, where he was asking for the quid pro quo, that one of the staffers was out to dinner with Sondland, the EU ambassador, and while he was out to dinner,
this is crazy, by the way.
He got a phone call from Donald Trump and audibly was talking about how he's like, the Ukrainian president is ready to move forward with the deal, with the investigation into the Bidens in exchange for a meeting with you and for the military.
It's so crazy that the guy who paid $1 million to Donald Trump to become the ambassador wouldn't know anything about OPSEC or secure phone lines or anything like
now,
that.
Now, next thing, then immediately after that, the staffer goes, so, which says something like, so how's Donald Trump feel about Ukraine? Like, made of, and then immediately a guy goes, he doesn't really care about that. He's more interested in the investigation, like Giuliani. Thank you. And it's like, and then this is the craziness that the Republicans have to now do. And then in these hearings, they have to be like, well, now, that was a phone call as hearsay, and then that was a phone call. So he's like, you heard that from the staffer who heard it from the thing.
Yeah.
So double hearsay.
And the hearsay is hearing it directly from the president saying it.
Yeah.
Like,
But now they did identify.
The president say these words, then hear Sondland say
I hear
these
them
words.
Say, and I say now, this is what I hear, because this is what happens.
But it's hearsay.
Here you say.
It's in a restaurant. Yeah. Now we're going to impeach a guy over illegal things he said over the phone in a restaurant.
But it's crazy. It was the next day.
And it's like, it's insane.
Somehow the restaurant detail works for the GOP.
That's it.
What?
That's been their argument this morning. Their argument this morning is literally like, oh, now we're going to impeach a president over something someone heard in a restaurant. Yeah. Heard was
much,
illegal talk
do you have much
in
evil,
a restaurant.
Racist shit I say when I'm out to eat. I mean, when I have a good meal going on, the expletives flow. I mean, I can't not.
Yeah. I mean, look, when I'm leaking national security details over unsecured lines in a fucking restaurant, maybe I like to drop a few F-bombs and
I get a linguine Alfredo going. A nice Malbec.
The other
doesn't
detail
matter where
that I love about it is that the aide
and then
was
I talk about who really killed Kennedy, you know.
The other thing
just because he fired from the grassy knoll? We're supposed to take someone seriously about a grassy knoll?
The magic bullet. Get the hell out
the
of
thing
here.
I
book
love,
depository?
The thing
Come
I
on.
Love about...
nerds.
The thing I love about this detail, too, is that the aide was just like, oh, so, like, what did Trump just say? It's so at dinner. Like, they're literally breaking open into breadsticks, and it's as if your mom called. And you're like, fuck, let me get this. It's my mom.
They were definitely
I bet it was the opposite.
At an
I bet
Olive
he was like,
Garden. Just endless breadsticks. Hang on, I gotta take this.
When you're here, your family, your embezzlement, bribery, impeachment.
Because when you're low rent mobsters, you're gonna go to Olive Garden.
Well, you know, it is.
I mean,
because here, your family.
It is the low rent Ukrainian sequel.
Exactly. Which
at
is also insulting.
Here. See, that's where the dialogue is bad. This is a bad scene
also
written
insulting.
Into a,
also
shitty
insulting.
Movie.
Why would you? There are allies
our
still.
Staunchest
still
allies.
Our ally,
against
and now
Russia.
You're calling them, like, they're not, they don't rise to the level of being a good scandal. What?
They're in the middle of a war with Russia. After overcoming a civil war that Russia engineered.
They're basically like, look, you're a shithole country, and shithole countries don't have good scandal.
Yeah.
I don't, it's just fucking insane.
No, you just have how to make a murder.
But let me get back to my question, which was, how is this landing with the public?
Well, as you all know, I have my finger on the pulse of the public.
That's why I invited you here today, John F. O'Donnell. O'Donnell knows.
What are they saying on the basketball courts?
It's fucked up, but I'll tell you. These 14-year-olds who are fucking fast, and I mean just growing like weeds, they got really good crossovers. I think it's always going to be a Rorschach test, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like people can see what they want to see, which is so fucked up because the questions that the GOP are answering are so ridiculous. They're somehow making it all about Obama, which is insane to me. They'll be like this. They'll be like, they said to Ambassador Taylor, like, so Obama did not authorize lethal force to Ukraine and you wanted him to, huh? And then you'd be like, yeah. Be like, so therefore, Donald Trump did not try to bribe head of state.
But they'd be like, and, you know, it's like, oh, Obama didn't authorize lethal force. Yep. And Donald Trump has killed millions of people, right? So he's better than Obama. Like,
yeah,
it's,
so, weird.
It's weird. It's so
but also,
weird.
I was going to say, for the people, they'll be like, oh, yeah, they're trying to, there's being unfair to Trump. Like, look what Obama, you know, that's how they'll do that. Like, Trump tweets out just about the two, you know, lifelong civil servants, like non-Trump, never Trumpers.
Trumpers.
So that right there will get his base to be like, oh, they're just going to be biased. but they're not Never Trumpers. And one of the guys just straight up was just like, he's like, are you Never Trumper? And the guy was like, no, not Never Trumper. Yeah. And the other guy was like, listen, three generations, yeah. George Kent.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think one
60
thing,
years of a
one
Kent.
Thing that did strike me with starting with George Kent and Bill Taylor, in terms of if we're just talking optics, which I hate, but if we're just talking optics.
Well, we're talking about it right now, so your fucking feelings
if you're gonna start
shoved up into your dickhole.
If you're gonna start an impeachment hearing and you want to have the gravitas of some trusted voices, you couldn't get better than George Kent and Bill Taylor. And I was thinking about...
You're their star witness, Devin Nunes said. He was just like, heard of a thing from a thing,
but
and you're their star witness.
You know who is watching this live coverage?
Donnie.
Well, no, I mean like in terms of the people who vote.
Okay, demographics?
Yeah, old people. Old people watch these.
They're sitting at home.
They're sitting at home, and it's on all the news stations, and it's on all the stations of the shows that they watch. And if you're like an older American, Bill Taylor's like central casting, like older white gentleman with a nice, gravelly, authoritarian voice.
And George had a bow tie on.
You know?
Ooh, yeah.
Like these guys just seem like, oh, these are the guys I trust.
It's like
these
Cary are like Grant, Walter Cronkite.
So the one thing about all of the Obama and Biden stuff that's coming into these hearings, it's really frustrating because it has nothing to fucking do with it. But also, I wonder if there's a congressional mechanism. I'm sure everybody's already thought of this, where Nancy Pelosi could just be like, you guys, do you want to do an investigation? Do a separate investigation. Go ahead. And because I'm fine. If they want to look into, I'm not into nepotism. If nepotism is a thing, I'm not into it. Of course, like they've kind of already looked into it. But I mean, whatever. They did like 7 hearings on Benghazi. Yeah. So if they need to do
the
a
mechanism
little hearing,
is you have to win an election and be the party in power to decide what you investigate and what
I guess,
you don't.
I mean, well, I guess
saying
I just,
an
I'm
investigation
saying is,
into
what I'm saying is if what this
Obama?
Is what I'm saying. No, I know. I know.
Like, look, we're already on the crazy train.
No,
I'll tell you, Herbert Hoover did some fucked up stuff. And
you
heard
like,
this
if there was a way to keep them quiet about not go on sidetracks about
they wouldn't,
Biden.
Do you think they'd be quiet?
I know. I'm just saying, if there was a congressional mechanism that's like, you have to stick to the fucking subject. Because it's like in a criminal court, they don't then be like, George, fucking robbed this bank. But also,
Obama.
Ted.
But Obama, objection, relevancy, sustained.
That's what I'm saying. So
he
there
did
is
it
no...
in 2013. Who was the president? Why did Obama let him rob
and
a bank?
Right. And so, like, the criminal system has a mechanism that's like, well, look, if you think this other guy also did a crime in an unrelated fashion,
charge him.
Go ahead and take him through the process. You know?
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is, I wish Congress had something like that so that we can focus in. I want to hear your best arguments about this. Like, don't bring in Biden and fucking Obama. Like, just what are your best? And it's interesting because I even think a hearsay argument is at least relevant.
Sure.
And it's
absolutely.
So I'm like willing to hear it because it's relevant.
Well, I think Congressman,
anytime they say other things, I'm just like, the sad thing is it lands because we're polarized. It doesn't land because it's sensible or rational or in any way a part of the, the justice.
Well, here's another one. Like this one is, and this is a little one they're pushing now. They're saying, well, look, the Trump administration released the aid and there's no investigation.
Yeah. Two days after he got caught.
Well, exactly. But I don't understand why that's so that makes me understand
the
GOP, they're just spinning and lying and just trying to create doubt because they know it's so blatantly a quid pro quo situation.
Yeah, the lie. The Nikki Haley said she was just like, well, it's not, nothing happened.
Except,
but
here's the thing. Constitutionally, what happened is one of the things that the founders and the crafters of the Constitution were most concerned about. That's why they put bribery as one of the things. It's not like we could talk all day about what are crimes and misdemeanors or high crimes and misdemeanors and what are like what constitutes a problem. But one thing that's very clear in the Constitution is fucking bribery.
It really is a main tenet of the impeachment.
And it becomes strange to me that we've launched into this existential question of like, if a crime happens in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does the crime really happen? And it's like, it still happens.
But this one is like, if a crime happens in the White House and the president commits it and everyone sees him do it, is it a crime?
Well, he tried. Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, if when he figured out that he wasn't going to get away with it because the whistleblower spoke out about it and then he released the aid, even though the Ukrainian president said he was ready to go forward with the investigation because he was so leveraged, but then got the aid and was like, I guess.
A script of what to say
in an
the
interview.
Announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. I thought Congressman Castro said it well. And he's like, is attempted murder a crime?
I mean, I can't believe everyone has to say that 45 times a day. It's bananas. I can't believe. Okay, listen, we're gonna have to wrap this up because we are going on and fucking on about this, and there's so much more to say. We're taping this on Thursday. There's gonna be more tomorrow on Friday, and then next week.
More like extortion and crimes.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think more crimes are happening right now.
So much more shit
is gonna come out. You think there's just the two phone calls? Donald Trump was probably every day was like, I want this Biden investigation.
Way,
we're going to take him out. Which is so funny because Biden's campaign, I don't even know if he's going to be the nominee.
By the way, like Mulvaney's defense of the president is literally like, you think the phone call's bad? You should see the shit we do. Way worse
this
shit.
This is how foreign policy works. What's wrong with you? We leverage it to get shit we want for ourselves. It's just
You should see the dark money that's flowing through Mar-a-Lago right now.
It would be fucked up if we didn't do this. But this is how duplicitous these Congress people are.
Okay,
GOP,
this is
real
the
quick.
This is the closing statement.
Okay, because one guy's like, oh, well, you know, Obama didn't give the lethal weapons. He's like, maybe that's what he was talking to the Russian president about in that off-mic situation. And then Schiff had to be like, you mean that thing that happened in 2012?
Yes.
2 years before Crimea?
Before it happened?
What the fuck are you doing? You guys are liars.
Yeah, Schiff literally had to say, he's like, so just to be clear, you don't think it had anything to do with something that hadn't happened yet?
Yeah. You think that the 2 years before?
It's amazing.
And it's like, ooh, that's your gotcha. You got us,
the
GOP congressperson.
After the Mueller report, which all this happened, the call happened right after Donnie supposedly won the Mueller report, right? And just accept that you won the 2016 election.
Yeah.
Accept that you won it. Stop trying to point out that you won it.
Well, isn't that the most
like
damning? Isn't that the most damning piece of evidence against him? If all he does is project, and he's the most worried about the legitimacy of the 2016 election.
Oh my god!
You kind of know something.
You know, right? Exactly.
He
all
just
right.
needs to be loved. It's fucked up.
He needs. You know what? We're gonna end on that. He needs to be loved.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. All right. Let's. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break and learn about our sponsors who keep the lights on here at Fake the Nation, who keep the extortion money flowing. And
brought to you by Fuck Dick Ponies.
That's not going to make sense.
Nope.
It might. And when we come back, we're going to talk about fucking a whole bunch of other things. And that's it.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that. But we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. Like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Prose prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level. If you think about it, just it makes common sense. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at prose.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's prose.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's prose.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So prose.com/fakethenation. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket
Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back! And we are ready to talk about a whole bunch of other things, including topic number two early on the dings. There it is. We're going to talk about DACA. It's in the news again because, as you'll recall, Donnie decided it was unconstitutional and that he had to shut it down and he didn't want to do it. He was so sympathetic to the Dreamers that he had a, quote, big heart and that he had, quote, so much love for them, but he just had no choice but to create a problem where none existed. The memo ending the program didn't even give any reasons on why it was unconstitutional, just that Jeff Sessions said so. And
That guy knows. That guy knows the Constitution.
Did you see his fucking announcement video for his senatorial bid?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. I am running for Senate, and I just want to point out that since I left, I haven't said anything bad about President Trump. I haven't written a book about President Trump. Basically, like, I've been a good little boy. Yeah. Please vote for me.
It was more like a hostage video.
Oh, my God.
It was like sparse background. He's just like, please. Please, just remember.
I kept my mouth shut. Yeah, it's crazy.
Was it like talking about Nikki Haley? And was a reference to Nikki Haley?
It was
her
an announcement video that I'm running for Senate. It was
because she had that book and she talked about how.
No. It was his announcement video. Nikki Haley is a whole other story. Okay, so now the DACA fight has gone through the courts, and it looks like half of our shitty Supreme Court is going to be siding. Not that our Supreme Court is shitty. Half of the people on it are shitty. Shitty's a strong word. I'm sure they're very nice people. I just don't agree with them.
Two of them are allegedly shitty.
Interpersonally, Neil Gorsuch is a nice person?
I don't know. I mean,
Brett Kavanaugh, definitely not.
But two
nice
of them
person.
On the record are allegedly shitty.
No,
for
I can
very
picture. I can picture having like a very quick one coffee at like one of those coffee places where you stand. And you have, you know what I mean? You have like a counter that you stand mm-hmm. at. Mm-hmm. I could picture myself having a coffee with Neil Gorsuch in that fashion.
Cool. I think when Brett Kavanaugh got confirmed,
I feel like that says a lot. Okay. Well, I know, but when Brett Kavanaugh got confirmed, Neil Gorsuch became like the fucking
way to be a corporate chill, but
totally.
Great.
Yeah, Neil Gorsuch is like, okay, so people aren't going to talk about me.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're going to side with Donnie on this case, which would basically give Donnie the right to pull DACA. That's the does the president have the constitutional right to just end this program? That's the question at hand. What do you guys think of what's happening? Nice open-ended question.
I think what's very interesting about this, and one of the reasons why it's going to the Supreme Court, is because the question of whether or not the president can end the program is kind of not in dispute. The president has the executive authority to start a program or end a program. The problem is that their argument was that they're ending it because President Obama didn't have the constitutional authority to do it. So the only thing that would give Donald Trump the constitutional authority to end it
Is if he had the constitutional,
authority, which means then
doesn't even make sense.
Which means
the whole
thing. Their legal argument is flawed.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's
so they've
exactly
gone
it.
To the courts with a very Whoa. Flawed legal argument.
You just blew my mind, dude.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
And
right,
it's,
but then
Ted
but,
Olson,
does, but also it, so does, it doesn't matter that right. it's a problem because if they're going to side, I mean,
well, it does because so Ted Olson, who's a very well known Republican. Lawyer. Mm-hmm. He was the lawyer.
His name is at the tip of all of our tongues all the time.
He was George W. Bush's lawyer in Bush v. Gore.
Okay.
And he was a solicitor general under. So he's not, you know,
he's not a one hit wonder.
He's not a one hit wonder.
Shit.
He's not this.
I was too busy doing whippets in college.
He's representing the dreamers in this, though. So it's very, so he's representing DACA recipients, saying that this is an important program and this affects all these businesses and affects all these people, and that the decision by the president, what his argument is essentially is that the decision by the president to end the program can't be an arbitrary decision. It has to be backed up with legal facts. And the president is not making a sound legal argument
to end
it.
And the funny reason behind why there is no legal argument is when they ended it, the woman who was supposed to end it, her name is Elaine Duke, and she was the acting Homeland Security Secretary. And they were like, we're going to end this program. She's like, I really don't think we should. Guys, that's like a terrible idea. Guys, no, I'm not into it. She's like a nice lady who volunteers for immigrant stuff at her local like Catholic church. Like she's like into immigrants, sure. Not a hater. But they made her do it, right? She had to sign this memo and she signed it. And literally she just wrote in there, we got to end it because apparently it's unconstitutional according to Jeff Sessions. That was it. Like she didn't give any reasons. And so that's what gave. And so now they're basically trying to backtracking is like, you know, adding reasons and a motivation where there was none in the first place.
Right.
So it looks super just ridiculous, you know, and a lot of courts are like, guys, you can't just decide later on, you know, that there
but
are now reasons.
It shows you how little thought they give to the decisions that they make, because, again, the argument, you know, you could if you're the president and it's an executive authority, you can end that. But the argument that they made was so bad, it has to go to the courts because the argument they're making is that the thing that you're using, the constitutional power you're using, the executive authority you're using, you're arguing that the previous president didn't have the executive authority.
But this one does.
But this one does.
Yeah.
So that's what's causing this
fucking bananas
case.
Is it true from what I read, I'm trying to understand this, is that Obama signed this executive order because of Congress's inactivity in doing anything for immigration reform. So he took it into his own hands and passed this thing, this DACA that helps like over 700,000 people. But before he did that, he was like, look, it's not up to me. I can't make these laws about immigration.
Right.
It's not constitutional. So he's kind of acknowledged, and I'm okay with him doing that because I think it helps people, but he's acknowledging that it was something that wasn't legal for him to do.
Well, no, it's
know.
Not that it's
I
not legal.
Like
it's that it's a short-term fix.
Yeah.
The executive order is only as good as the executive executing
well,
Nikki, that order.
If that's not the case, why did you make me read that National Review article?
An argument that's like, if we jump into Obama's head, he was trying to make the case that he doesn't have the right to do anything.
I mean,
he was doing it anyway.
We all know that Obama didn't have the constitutional authority to be a president.
I just want to go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot that. We forgot about that.
I just want to pat myself on the back, though, for a second, for even including. I try very hard to include, like, articles from the right that are sensible and not crazy, fire-breathing arguments. And even the sensible ones are a little bit like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, because this one said it was like, they said it was like, you know, Obama was trying to, you know, take immigration because of inactivity. It was actually more like the opposite. What was going to happen was the parties were about to come together.
Right, and he
and
blew
give
it up.
But he wanted to have it be more differentiated so he could run on that in 2012 because he's the most evil person that you can ever imagine.
Yeah, the National Review argument was essentially that Congress was about to have a bipartisan solution for something that they hadn't come up with in 20 years. And so that Obama, to be able to run against Republicans, wanted to cast them as being heartless, so he did it himself. And they were like, curse you! We were just about to do it!
He wanted to make
as also, you can still do it! Like, yeah. You could and still, go ahead and still do it.
But
what?
Yeah. When he this made the executive order, he was like, this is not a law. This is an executive order.
Yeah. Right.
So Congress now needs to act if they don't
but
like
I'm
it.
But I'm protecting these people but until Congress acts.
Correct.
Fucking fuck. Anyways.
I think the funniest line in the thing real quick, they just go like, so it painted all of these, you know, immigrant sympathetic GOP people as like people that hate non-white children.
Yeah.
They said.
It's like, really?
Haters of non-white children.
Yeah. Meanwhile, fast forward 5 years and those non-white children are in literal cages.
Yeah.
So that seems to be painting. I feel like the GOP is doing a much
a
better
great
job.
A fantastic job of painting themselves.
Of painting themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my question to close this out is that it's just politically, and again, it's like, let's remember as we joke around about how all these ridiculous these arguments are, that it's affecting hundreds of thousands of people that I know it's affecting,
yes.
And it fucking upsets me, and it's really traumatizing. What is the purpose of having this happen during an election year where you could be the guy, you know, telling ICE to, all right, buckle down, go get those dreamers that 80% of the American public sides with the dreamers. Mm-hmm. 80% of them. This is an incredibly popular program, an incredibly popular demographic. Being a part of DACA means that you haven't committed any serious crime. I mean, there's all these. Mm-hmm.
A lot of criteria.
There's so many criteria. You can't just willy-nilly be in DACA. So what does it do for the elections that this might be revoked?
I think that Trump is, this is just my thoughts on it. I think Trump is hedging his bets. I think that if he gets this overturned, he can say to his base, look, I overturned this illegal Obama-era executive order that pissed off a lot of people when it got passed. But at the same time, he has no real plan or logistics to actually deport these mm-hmm. people. So he can sort of hedge there where he's not actually moving towards deportation proceedings and sort of try to walk that middle line.
I think what he can say is, I got rid of this thing that was illegal. I'm amazing, mm-hmm. but I have such a big heart. I'm not going to enforce their removal right now until Congress comes up with it. You know,
I'm just going to keep them in cages.
Yeah. Right.
Which Obama put them in because he did an illegal thing. That's why they're in cages. I mean, that will be his argument. For me, for an election, I think the chilling effect is the communities that will be most impacted are the communities where voter suppression is rampant, where gerrymandering is rampant, where cities that are that have high immigrant populations will be scared away from the polls because there's a lot of distrust with these programs right now, with government programs, because of who's running the government. So people are going to be – people who need to vote on this and who will be affected by this aren't going to turn up at polls if they think ICE is going to be there to arrest them, whether that's legal or not. People wouldn't hold it against this president to send ICE down to the polls to just round up anyone who looks like they shouldn't be voting.
Right.
Which, so I think that's what concerns me the most. The sanctuary cities, any city, any town that has, a high immigrant population, this needs to be taken care of on the local level right now, where they need to protect their citizens and the people who live there.
And it puts these people back into the shadows, you know,
which
is so unfortunate. They can't get access to, you know, higher education or, you know,
jobs,
driver's license, things like that. It's like, it's almost like it's unfortunate that they still have to be called dreamers because the dream just keeps getting shittier and shittier. You know what I mean? It's like, do you dream to have crippling medical debt?
Yeah. Do you dream to be like thrown, you know, do you dream to just be like thrown off your insurance for an arbitrary misprint from a computer?
Yeah. Ubiquitous surveillance. I don't know.
Welcome to the surveillance.
Get a better dream. You should dream about Norway or something.
But I mean, anyways, they're American, you know?
I was just being.
I know.
Made you sad?
It made me sad for some reason. Don't dream about Norway. Dream about America. Still.
Dream about what America can be.
That's what I'm saying. Dream about
Canada.
What America can be. All right. We're going to keep track of what's happening here with DACA, as we always do. Are any dreamers in the Fake the Nation audience want to weigh in? I'm just, I feel horrible.
In a safe way?
In a safe, secure
way.
Fuck. I mean, you know, some of them are out and, you know. very vocal.
Fake the Nation got me deported. Oh, God.
No, do not let that happen.
No, I know. Please, you know what I'm saying, guys. Okay. All right. Let us move on to the next topic. Oh, you guys. The Democratic field needs more candidates like I need to snack on a fucking porcupine husk. What is happening? There's some fucking idea that the Democratic field needs a savior. And two have come forward this week, or potentially two. Definitely Deval Patrick, who's the former governor of Massachusetts, beloved by all counts. He's not a billionaire, though I want to point that out. But who is a billionaire? Michael Bloomberg, who filed paperwork in Alabama, so he hasn't formally announced, but he's like doing the thing that you have to do if you're going to maybe announce it. You don't want to miss the deadlines.
And if you're a rich Jew from New York, the place you want to file your papers to run for president is definitely Alabama. You're going to get the friendliest reception there.
Well, let's start.
Bold choice.
Let's start with Michael Bloomberg. What do you guys think of him potentially joining the race?
I think Bernie Sanders is going to have a heart attack. See what I did right there?
Hey! We don't want him to have a heart attack.
No. I think now he got all cleared out. He's stronger than ever.
Yeah. He's great. He's doing good.
Bloomberg, I don't know. He's for my taste, he's like, I guess he's too centrist for my tastes. And just like the idea of a billionaire versus billionaire.
He's also the second billionaire.
No, billionaire versus fake.
Here's the thing. There's so many billionaires actually in the race that we've forgotten. You're already represented. Your demographics already represent. You're now overrepresented.
Yeah.
They are overrepresented.
But if it's I'm talking about in like the general election, billionaire versus billionaire, it's like we don't even have a pretense that this country is not bought and sold by the billionaire
but
class.
There shouldn't be more billionaires in the Democratic primary than black women. That's all I'm saying.
That's a really good point. Hey, tweet that out, buddy. That's a good tweet.
Gonna go viral.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that black women should be billionaires because they just couldn't handle that amount of money. Could you imagine?
Please tweet that out. Please tweet that out.
Canceled. J-Fod's been canceled.
J-Fod, it's over for you, sir. No, I mean, and I feel like I grew up with Bloomberg, right? Because he was like the mayor since I lived here. Sure. And like, his stop and frisk policy was pretty shit.
Yeah.
He didn't do very much when it came to low income housing.
Right.
The housing crisis was really exacerbated under Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because De Blasio sort of came in and is trying to do things. It's very difficult. Yeah. It's a complicated issue. It's extraordinarily expensive. And it butts up against everything we don't have,
sure,
like space, you know? A lot of that has to do with Bloomberg. And really making it a favorable environment for developers to overrepresent million-dollar condos.
And a lot of, because again, it was good for business and it was good to have these business partners come in.
And it really made New York a fucking very wealthy city. And that's true. But at the same time, it's awful.
But is that right? So do you want someone with the mentality of a billionaire who doesn't really have the capability to understand what it's like to live in New York and not afford anything?
And also, I do also want to point out, though, that he has done a lot of tremendous work with guns.
He's done great work with guns.
And on local elections.
He's also been a terrific supporter of research into curing ALS.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
He's done, I mean, he, philanthropically,
also,
he's
give
done.
Us, give us the smoking ban. Was that him?
A soda ban, definitely.
No, I think he gave us a smoking ban, too. If I'm correct, was a bellwether that you know, I think it maybe started in California, but like really when New York City did it, a bunch of countries, major cities around the world started doing it because New York City did it. And so that has also been, in terms of public health, the man cares.
Sure.
I think it's interesting that I think he's jumping in because he initially didn't, because I think he saw Joe Biden as being a viable candidate and filling that sort of centrist Democrat lane. But now I think he doesn't see Biden's campaign as necessarily gaining any steam.
Yeah. And I think, like Bill Gates said last weekend, that he doesn't want to pay Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax.
He does not like the progressive wing.
He does not like the progressive wing. I think he's really afraid of like the taxes.
I mean, it is very interesting.
Can you imagine that you're so rich that you don't like that there's going to be a change in taxes, so you run for president?
Isn't that weird?
I mean, that's one way to push back.
Oh God!
Wouldn't that be weird if that actually happened?
But I mean, I think Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren like can really potentially scorch this dude in debates.
But
you know?
I agree, because he's also not charismatic.
Right.
He's not going to be like. Going to some,
no
like,
one wants
fair...
to watch him speak. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's not going to the to look at the butter sculptor, you know, in Iowa and like, say something fun.
But I do think it does speak to the viability.
You'd be fucked trying to be folksy around the country.
No, Michael I know. Bloomberg.
What's this? Hey, look at this cow. That is a pig, sir.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Like on his private jet. Yeah. He doesn't have a bus in between. You know what I mean?
He has a private jet that other private jets don't know about.
Yeah.
I think
I don't know.
It does speak to, but I think it does speak to.
I liked it though.
Thank you.
I think it does speak to the fact that the proposals put forward by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and especially that Elizabeth Warren hasn't just been talking about the wealth tax. She's put forward a plan, and when they look at it, it's like, oh, that might be viable. I think there's a big difference when you speak.
It's scary because it sounds so real.
It's scarier when there's actual plans in place and then you're looking at like, oh, if you move this money around here and we distribute it over here, this is actually how we do it by spending the same amount of money. You guys just have to pay more now. And I think the majority of American people will be in favor of that because we're not increasing the amount of money. We're just making you pay the larger share because you have so much, it won't affect you. And I think that's what scares them is that that's gaining steam.
He's going to self-finance his campaign, spend as much as that is, and that's going to be less.
Assuming he announces.
And that's going to be less money than he would potentially lose with this tax change.
I mean, and it's interesting because the individual rational behavior suggests that that money shouldn't matter to him, right? Like, he has so much fucking money that this any kind of a change into the tax code like that should not matter
to
him.
Is it maybe principle to the?
It is. There's a principle of uncapped wealth,
which is what Bill, because Bill Gates was like, well, I'm okay paying 10 billion or something, but I don't want to pay 20 or something like that.
Like, if you talk about 100 billion, it's like you would still have $47 billion left over.
So what is the fucking problem? Your numbers are crazy. That's not what she's saying either. But I think here's the thing. If Elizabeth's people are listening, I think she really needs to start pumping this cheerful capitalist.
Yeah.
You know, because people, this is why, and we'll talk about Deval Patrick, but this is why people are coming into the race, because
she's been rising in the polls.
And then we fabricate an electability argument against her, a completely made up media nonsense garbage against her. Because, I mean, she's a woman and because she wants to help people and she's got actual plans, and it seems so scary because it might actually work. And so, but I think people are suddenly like, oh no, what if she loses electability? Trump. Yeah. She's a woman. I mean, I think if all of this was encased in a man, if Elizabeth Warren was a man with the exact same policies, we wouldn't. And I'm not talking about Bernie, because Bernie has his own, like, he ran and he has a different profile, right? But because Elizabeth Warren has a track record of actually getting things done.
Right.
And I think that's the other scary thing about her. And so I just can't imagine the same arguments being leveled against male Elizabeth Warren.
I think that the best campaign slogan for her, the best campaign ad, was like 2 weeks ago. There was, you know, they have a billionaire on there talking about how his tax rates will change, and he starts crying. And I'm like, you know, Elizabeth Warren makes billionaires cry. Yeah. That's it. That's your slogan.
Yeah.
Just keep showing on loop those videos of her like flogging bankers in the Senate.
By the way, I want to point out that 65% of Democrats found that the field of candidates is good or excellent.
Mm-hmm.
25% said their sense was that the field was fair, and only 5% said they had a poor impression. Mm-hmm. So,
and that 5% are running for president now in the Democratic primary.
They're all filing.
We don't need Bloomberg. Like, I,
it's also the notion that someone's going to come in at this late stage is so insulting because the candidates are fucking yeah. good.
And they've been like grinding for almost a year.
And, they
and they're
plans.
Dealing with Trump
Don't...
nicknames, you know. They're trying to avoid that.
Bloomberg is literally late stage capitalism for the Democratic primary. Right,
it's consolidation of industry.
It's a death cult.
But it is. It is the thinking. It's like, oh, and then I'm reading coverage on it. They're like, well, maybe he is the most viable candidate yeah. that could actually, you know, really beat Trump in the general. We need to think with our heads. And I know Democrats like to think with their hearts when they're picking a
and
candidate.
I want to like, know what Deval Patrick is reading, watching, or smoking to wake up yesterday and be like, you know what this primary needs? Me.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I have very little name recognition, no fundraising, and I
and
work for Bain Capital.
Yeah. Someone from my state is already running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
But he's like, I'm good friends with Obama, and I'm going to be like Obama
and
not have an ideological stand on stuff. That's not what we want right now.
It is weird that he took that job at Bain Capital. Went with presidential aspirations. I mean, come on.
Come on.
But
read the room.
I also, look, and Deval Patrick is beloved, and he is buds with Obama, mm-hmm. and he was seen as like maybe a second coming of Obama type person. He said months ago, I will not be running. The campaign process is brutal. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And now this is like a turnaround. And it is one of these things of like, I'm just like, how much better are you than literally any of them? Like, you're a good guy. I get it. But like, what? And so to me, it's just this kind of self-congratulatory, yeah. like, you know, I why do you have this arrogance, you know? And well. and it that's what it is to reads to me in both cases as arrogance born out of extreme wealth and then arrogance born out of like some misapprehension about what is happening with the field of candidates.
Do you think it's for exposure too? Is he just doing it to get like up his profile, his name recognition?
I mean, we're talking about Deval Patrick, so you can't argue against that.
I mean, he works for Bain Capital. Can he just buy a publicist and make that happen for himself, exposure-wise?
In all fairness, before that, he worked for Texaco, so he's obviously he's balancing things
Look,
out.
He's got a very balanced portfolio. Okay.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren would fucking skewer that,
no,
dude.
No, and I don't – look,
be in favor of favor of that.
I just want to see Bloomberg, him on the podium between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
I would almost be in favor of it if it were like a strategy from the Warren campaign to get Bloomberg and Deval Patrick on the stage with her so she can eviscerate them.
A long con. No, I like that. Okay.
There's your conspiracy
theory.
I
want to, so, and again, I don't know about Deval Patrick. I haven't done enough reading about him. Honestly, he wasn't my governor. So like, he could fucking
from my
be
home state.
Great. I don't, please.
He's fine.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Not my governor, man.
He was fine.
He was fine with a capital F. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I also point out something? I've gotten some emails from people about my treatment of Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to listeners who are fans of those two, I don't mean to, like, and I've tried to emphasize this with every time we talk about a candidate, I would vote for Pete Buttigieg gleefully, who vote for Bernie Sanders gleefully. If that's what it comes to.
I am voting for the Democrat. I don't know. Like that's...
I'll fucking vote for Tom Steyer. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'll do it. If I have to do it, that's what I'll do.
I'm going with the D.
I'm going. I also have tried to, and hopefully, and it's maybe I failed to point out that I really do respect his service, Pete Buttigieg. I do think that it's not his time. I have referred to him as Booty Geek because, and this is a personal joke for me because I'm named Nagin Farsad. My entire life, no one has said my name correctly, literally ever. And because, and I think it's funny that there's a guy with a crazy name and everyone says it correctly every fucking time.
They learned it so fast.
They certainly learned it so fast. So the entire country is like, Buttigieg, Buttigieg, Buttigieg. And I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I'm just like a random idiot who says booty geek. And so it was a personal joke for me and having a difficult name. I don't know. So, and it just sounds funny. So I've said booty geek, but I don't mean it in disrespect.
And how many
M.
Night Shyamalan jokes have people been making for 30 years?
Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
People refuse to learn how to say his name. But like you make fun of Mayor Pete's name or whatever.
Yeah. Well, my point is, I hear you, listeners of Fake the Nation, who are fans of Mayor Pete, mm-hmm. fans of Bernie. I respect both of them. And I'm sorry if it came off they otherwise.
Have great, look, they have great things, but I mean,
they have great things.
They have great. They, have
they
great
do
things.
Have great things. I just think Elizabeth Warren has better things, sure. but they also have great things. And if I had to go with a number two, I think Kamala Harris has yeah. better things.
But this but is the anyway, point of a primary.
But this is the point, of, the a point of a primary. So, anyways, I'm sorry, and I do want everyone, all the voices. And we've had an unnaturally large number of Warren supporters in these seats. Yeah. Is it a New York thing? I don't know.
I love Harris. I actually really liked Harris too, yeah, and part of the reason I liked her was what she was able to accomplish as a prosecutor navigating through that system. And I think when you have a bunch of criminals in the White House, it might be
very interesting.
Like, I know that people was like, oh, Kamala's a cop. It's
a
like,
good,
I, maybe we
instinct.
Need like a
yeah,
good
yeah.
cop.
People got upset with you because you were joking about pronouncing his last name.
That was part of it, but like that was a minor part of it. I think the larger part is that I wrote these gentlemen off.
Okay.
And I wasn't trying to, and I've tried to emphasize every time something good that I do think about them, but you know, I
you
probably haven't been doing a good job.
Yeah. You can't go from mayor to president. That's like someone doing comedy for like 1 year. Getting like a late night set, you're like, oh my god, yeah. this is infuriating.
It's Look, happened.
I will say though that I don't think you can write anyone off. I don't think there are
I'm
rules.
Not
I don't think
off.
I'm saying
yeah.
I don't think there are rules anymore. We can yeah. say whatever we want, but like, you know,
I'll tell you that
we're living in chaos.
The Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Queens was. It was a lot of good energy there. It's like
yeah,
25,000 people.
It would be exciting to have him in office. More exciting for Elizabeth Warren. All right. let us move on to our final topic. Harry?
This is an epic length.
I know. Look, at guys, you're getting four topics today.
I love
fucking
this.
Deal with it.
Whoa.
But we're going to go short. I'm trying to go short. Did I go short on the other ones? I tried to go short. I did. Okay.
By short, we only went 20 minutes over.
Listen, you know when there's what? Just so much talent in the room, what are you going to fucking do?
What are you going to do?
Spinning gold here.
Okay, so this story is a couple of weeks old, but I still really want to talk about it. House Representative Katie Hill, a Democrat from California, resigned after just 10 months in office amidst allegations of an affair with a staffer. But it's more complicated than that because apparently her estranged husband released pictures. Of her naked, mm-hmm. Engaging, I guess, in a throuple. Hill claims that she did have a consensual relationship with a campaign staffer, but this separate person that is a current Hill staffer, she did not have a relationship with, and that's fabricated, and it's just a part of this
right.
kind of revenge porn tactic by her husband, who she's divorcing. All right, so that's the weird story. And the reason I want to talk about it, because it just seems like we're at such an interesting point for this type of story, mm-hmm. and that she resigned, I felt like wasn't necessary. And I just wondered, what did you guys think about this resignation, and was it warranted?
It pissed me off. I mean, I think this is also a larger problem with the double standard. Mm-hmm. Here she was. Not the type of candidate who was supposed to win, much younger. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting into this problem with millennials as well in office, where we're going to have a situation where most everyone has pictures out there or has
yeah.
engaged in stuff, and they don't care as much.
They've called Pete Buttigieg Pete Booty Geek or Pete Booty Geek is what I normally do. Sorry, go ahead.
People don't care.
And, yeah.
Some people might.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the majority of people are like, whatever, that's what we all did now. So I think that...
it's almost weird if you don't. It's like a real incel move not to have some dick pics out there.
Right?
I'm just kidding. I do not endorse reckless sending of dick pics.
But the fact is, if she were a man, we'd be talking about invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And we'd be talking about how her personal life, or we'd be talking about how his personal life doesn't impact his professional life and there should be a separation and blah, 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 blah. And that's not what we do. We have these different set of standards, and there's still a lot to overcome with that. And hopefully this has brought things to a light. I think by her resigning, it's actually brought this issue to a much larger forefront for people. And hopefully we can actually have an adult conversation about the adult content and why that's not appropriate that it was put out there. It wasn't appropriate that it was shared. It wasn't.
It is, in fact, illegal.
Yeah.
And she is pursuing it, the
she's
legal battle
the
for
victim
it.
She's of the victim of a crime.
And the thing
it
is,
it is illegal in California.
Sucks,
it's
illegal in like 41 states. Yeah. And it sucks that what I think the resignation that was, you know, probably I imagine House leadership was in favor of her resignation. And what I feel like has happened is that we've said revenge porn is out there and we're allowing it to work.
Right.
And that's what sucks about this particular situation.
Yeah.
John?
Well, she didn't. She acknowledges that, okay, was it an unethical thing for me to have a sexual relationship with this campaign staffer? She says that it was against her best judgment, even though it was consensual. But there's no actually rule or law against that. The specific rule or law is against having sexual relations with a subordinate that's part of your congressional staff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's an issue of power.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think that she should have been forced to resign over it. And I think that the reason that she did it was because there was potentially going to be more content that was going to be released and leaked
yeah.
and
right.
stuff like that. So she didn't want to bring more, you know, kind of pain into the life of people around her family and stuff
right.
like
and
that.
And her district.
Right.
Yeah, and her district. So I think it's unfortunate because, you know, she was the first openly bisexual, person in Congress. And it's just going to set back the bisexual movement, and they're going to be persecuted for just wanting to have sex with everybody.
Can we also? I mean, can we?
Which
also
is not our main takeaway about this story, but yes,
but it could be because the fact is she was liberated, from an abusive relationship.
Yeah, this guy's a monster.
I mean, as she spoke about, she herself was taking ownership of her life. She was taking ownership of her sexuality. She was taking and that was taken away from her. Something that she had gained, something she had fought for, was taken away from her. She, again, is the victim of a crime, possibly multiple crimes. And this is, you know, the message of, like, you know, hey, sorry you got robbed, lock your doors, just doesn't cut it anymore.
You know, the other interesting thing is just like there is a double standard in also who we care does this thing, right? Because Donnie, obviously, there's accusations against him and he's our president. But also, the same level person, California Representative Duncan Hunter, is alleged to have had numerous affairs with a member of his staff, the aid of like another Republican member of Congress, several lobbyists. The Justice Department charged Hunter with illegally using campaign funds to pay for everything from vacations to boozing habits and all to finance these affairs. Despite all of that, he is still in office.
Right.
There's going to be a trial and all that. And like the Al Franken situation where I think, why don't we let due process as Democrats? There's now a couple of instances where we're not letting due process run its course. And maybe this was really Katie Hill's choice. She's like, I don't want to go through that. And maybe that's it.
I think it's more. I actually think it's more nefarious because don't forget, she wasn't just a congressperson. She was the vice chair of the Oversight Committee. The vice chair of the Oversight Committee that just suddenly lost their chairman in Elijah Cummings.
Yeah. So,
and who else sits on the Oversight Committee? AOC, Tlaib.
Yeah.
These are people who have been targeted specifically, not just for who they are, but for the power that they wield in Congress. They have giant targets on their backs, and people who are in these positions of power who the old guard doesn't feel should have this power, and by that I mean like Republicans, they're going guns blazing. They're digging up shit on every single congressperson. They're going to go after them for whatever it is that they can get on them, and they will keep hammering it. And so I don't think it's just about her.
True. And also,
I think this is a larger problem.
The red state, by the way, is the one who published the photos, and they're also kind of working with her rival in the race in 2018.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of like you know.
Yeah. And she did say that.
Shenanigans. Yeah.
Yeah, she did say that she, she was dealing with a lot of, like, political operatives that went out to get her and stuff like that. And, yeah, you're right. That the representative, that Hunter guy.
Duncan Hunter.
He's had the ability, or the privilege to be able to just deny all of these charges. He may ultimately, get, convicted of something and may resign, but he's been able.
The president is accused of 23 separate rape and sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, and he's going to skate through that.
So, the Republicans don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about these types of things. They only care if it can be used against Democrats. This isn't about ethics. This isn't about morality. This isn't about your personal behavior. This is about, you're a Democrat. We will go after you with whatever we have on you. And we'll defend our people because we're just hyper-partisan.
And she absolutely was a rising star in the freshman class of Congress.
Yeah. And I also think it's interesting. I mean, things are going to have to change in terms – well, things will change in terms of our relationship with photos, like, because – it's interesting because millennials have less sex overall, but the sex they do have, they fucking photograph the shit out of it. And so,
hey, it's quality, not quantity.
And so there's going to be.
Sometimes it's neither. All right.
I think at one point, I totally think that eventually it'll just be like campaigns will be like, and these are the sex photos that we're releasing. You know what I mean? Like,
I just can't wait till the end.
That's in your announcement. They're gonna be up there with the American flag and their sex photos.
Just get ahead of the sex photos. They're there.
Everybody's naked, nobody's naked.
If everybody's naked, nobody's
naked. Or just when the NSA releases the jerk off files, the masturbation files.
I think I would watch a lot more announcement. I would watch a lot more announcements if, like, it came with, like, dick pics and tit shots and stuff. Of like, oh, okay.
All right.
Bold choice.
We have agreed that the three of us are sad that this is the outcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So
up the Republic.
Yeah. Let's, guys. And also, the other thing is just the last point here. There's the rule about not dating staffers came in 2018. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a very fresh new rule, and I understand it, right?
And of course, a woman was the first one to pay the price for it.
That's pretty crazy.
That's just crazy.
That is crazy.
Because it's actually there to protect these predatory men who have been doing this for centuries.
And there was still predatory.
That's so crazy.
And there was still men because it was a revenge porn plot.
And it was. And she's the victim of a crime.
Oh God, it's infuriating. It's very infuriating. So anyway, it's interesting though. From a human standpoint, as someone who totally like made out with coworkers at my first and second and third job,
that's how you get so many jobs, people.
People who are, and also like
you're around. You guys are out on the road. You're grinding. You're trying to get elected.
And there's no rule about campaigns, so I guess you know. And I can imagine there's so much fucking on campaigns.
There has to be.
You're on a bus.
The best place to fuck. I mean, that's just science.
I just feel like I would like for there to be a body that really does investigate these things. Because what if they're like...
There are a couple of bodies.
But I want this rule. I want the due process to function because in some cases... It may just be that if you end up dating the staffer of another congressperson's staff, like, maybe they're in love.
This is such a Democratic.
That's a rom-com way of looking at it, and I hate myself because I understand the rule completely.
Oh, but that's such a Democratic response of like, we'll just make another rule to fix it. It's like the system. We are in a fucking gunfight, and we're holding. Cheese graters here. Like, we are not prepared for the shitstorm that is coming at all of us.
I get it.
Like, we need to, like, prepare like it's the fucking Terminator's coming. We got to John Connor the fuck out of this shit. We got to, like, make ourselves ready for what's coming stop giving in to the bullshit.
I've been doing yoga classes.
Were they hot yoga?
No. No. Normal temperature yoga.
All right, you guys, let us know what you think about this Katie Hill resignation. Are you guys as sad as we are? We're sad. So you guys, that's the end of the show. How do you feel?
This is really fun. right?
Yeah.
It was kind of ridiculous. Great. Informative, funny, unhinged, yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, is someone fucking crafting an Apple podcast review or what?
I feel like I yelled a lot.
I feel like we all yelled a bunch. We did.
But it felt good.
I want for the people of Fake the Nation to love you guys and follow everything you do as much as I do. John F. O'Donnell, where do they do that?
Okay, so yeah, just all social media is at The Real JFOD, JFOD. And if you guys want to get my comedy special, go to jfodcomedyspecial.com. And I'm going to give the Fake the Nation listeners the promo code to get it free. Everybody loves promo codes.
And this gets it for free.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. At checkout, guys, the promo code is capital JFOD, lowercase special. So JFOD special, no space.
Wow.
You guys. You are going to enjoy this special. I promise.
It's good.
Benari.
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Benari Lee, BenariLee. And I'll, let you know what I'm up to.
And
probably make jokes about Chuck
Todd. Remember, he's going to be in Florida next weekend. And then just look at all of his things because he's performing all the time. And you can see him perform. And it's such a fantastic experience. You guys know where I am on all of the social medias. I'm also going to be doing an Elizabeth Warren fundraising show in New York City on Monday. So please look that up. I would love to see you guys in the audience. I would love for you guys to support my candidate. Though in the general election, I will gleefully do stand up for anyone that is a Democrat.
Throwing that out there now.
Let me see. Oh,
it's going to be so sad when you're doing. Now, I'd like to introduce Michael Bloomberg.
so sad. I don't think. Don't let that happen, America. Come on. Please. Yeah, he's really rich. Welcome to the stage.
I can't afford my apartment thanks to this man.
I was almost driven out of the city. Please welcome to the stage. all right, you guys.
I'm going to write this up.
Okay, you guys. What I would really like to do, though, is thank the people that make this show happen every week. That's our producer, Harry Nelson, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens, Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, Lily Fleshler helps with research, and you guys, we love your feedback. Please send us your guest ideas, your feedback on how I'm doing. I do really appreciate that, and even though sometimes it hurts a little, I really do appreciate it because it helps me make the show better. And that's what I want to do every week. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-770-4981. You can drop us a line at commentsatfaiththenation.com. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it really does help people find the show. And I believe John F. O'Donnell was crafting a great review earlier that you can just go ahead and...
Just use that.
Yeah, that's yours.
Just use that.
That's
yours. Make that just your own. Copy and paste. All right. Thank you and good day.